Welcome to It's a Code World, your digital marketing podcast. This podcast will give you practical insights on how to be the Renaissance man or woman in digital marketing and become indispensable for your organization.
Hey, how's it going? It is Tim Brown, and this is the 22nd episode of It's a Code World. And today I'm going to be talking with Josh Swisher.
Hey guys.
Josh is from North Face Construction, and we're going to be talking about how to be scrappy to get as many leads as possible. And we're talking about what we should shoot the shit about, and both Josh and I are like, we're both hustlers, and we're both working pretty hard. So most of our leisure time has some slight thing to do with our business as well.
Yeah, I don't have a life. I don't feel like no. In the evenings, you just hang out, family time, watch Netflix.
What do you watch on Netflix?
Oh gosh, we've been watching Weeds.
Oh yeah.
Addicted, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so ready for it to be done though. Just they get you hooked and been watching it hardcore. So.
How many seasons in are you?
Oh, we're on the last season. We only have like 4 episodes left out of
it. How many seasons are there?
8.
So I watched, that was one of those shows where I got lost after like season 4 or something like that. They moved away from that first town or something.
Yeah.
And they kind of, like, I watched like a season into that, but then I was like, what is going on here now? Yeah. I don't know. I got a little confused.
Yeah, it goes all over the place, but something to do. Quick episodes, family time, and night. When we put the kid to bed, that's mine and my wife's time to hang out and just kind of chill and have a beer.
Totally understand. And our show is The Office. We've gotten, Bea and I have gone through The Office like 9 times.
You watched the European one?
Yeah, I watched the European one. But we're like, there's 9. You can't mess with 9 seasons of the U.S. one.
I watched all of those like 4 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And we didn't stop. We just started over again.
I think I did it in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a pretty good show. So let's start off. Let's kick off with a bang. What are some tools that you use to get more leads?
There's a number of different tools that we use, whether it's, online-based platforms of just putting ourselves out there and the people that we utilize for tools such as yourself. But there's also the background tools such as taking those leads in and how to process them properly, such as our CRM, our customer relationship management program, which is kind of our project management program, AccuLinks. We use that.
AccuLinks.
AccuLinks. Yeah. Okay. So it's pretty,
specific to roofing, right?
Yes.
So just, kind of a little background here just to clear it up, as Josh is in roofing and AccuLinks is particular to that situation.
Yep.
But having a CRM, I think, applies more broadly. And in certain cases, it's nice to have one that's very specific to your situation.
Exactly. Exactly. So for ours, it roofing, insurance, restoration, just exteriors is so catered to us. Why would we go under those, but then there's also the old school style of tools that we use that are just really strong when we're going out and meeting people. And, when we're trying to cold call and get a lead from someone, say we knock on their door or we meet them somewhere, we're giving them a full folder with everything in there in regards to the trust builders, the copy of insurance, copy of licensing, all the manufacturer partnerships on what kind of warranties we have, all the products we have, certifications, even the old school stuff, especially depending on the age and demographic you're going after. If you're going after the baby boomer, that's what they like
to
see.
That's all they care
about.
That's
how you get the leads, the BBB, just being certified, even if it's a certification that's pretty easy to get. It's all about the trust builders. So I'd say the main tools are, the technology, the paper, and the partnerships, just kind of bring it down to the basics.
Talk a little bit more about the partnerships before we move on, just the manufacturer stuff.
So we're actually certified through a roofing manufacturer, GAF Roofing, as a master lead contractor. So what that does is it sets us apart from other roofers in the area in the sense that we can provide lifetime warranties on the manufacturer and for the products, but up to 25-year labor warranties if they want to upgrade. And it's also an opportunity to upsell upgrades, which that's where some good bread and butter is in our industry, selling upgrades. So
absolutely. And I think it's so funny. I had promoted something for a construction company recently on Facebook, a video, and there's another contractor. As you get people that will comment on your stuff that also that are also in the industry. It's like, it's pretty easy to see where you work, bud.
We have had that happen.
But this guy was saying, he literally went after the BBB thing. He's like, I don't need a BBB. I don't need to be BBB certified. I don't need this. I don't need that. I just do good work. And it's like, yes, sir. But you don't need to convince us. Yeah. We know that it really matters that you do good work and that you can make stuff happen and do a good job on roofing people's house. We know that you do that. I'm convinced that you do that. But the other thing is, not everyone can see everything that you've done in the past. Even if you videoed every good piece of work that you'd ever done, people aren't gonna watch all that video. So it's kind of around, how do we make it easy for people to make a decision quickly to work with us?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm kind of biased. A lot of these trust builders out there, like BBB, it's literally a sham.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it means nothing.
You're right, honestly, it is.
In regards to the integrity, you look up some terrible, terrible companies, and they can pay.
Like Home Advisor.
Yeah, and they can pay to get rid of stuff. So they really have.
They have like 85% negative reviews on,
but they're still A+.
Yeah, and they're still, well, I think they just got downgraded to A.
Oh, well, whoop-de-doo.
Apparently, but yes, but they're still supposedly very in good standing.
Yeah, and the thing is, you can't even be an A+ unless you pay them to be that. Like, so you will only be an A-, even if you are 100% perfect and great reputation. Yeah. You can have 2,000 reviews saying positive. Yeah. You will not be an A+ unless you pay them.
That's so funny.
The nature of the beast, because how much is it worth to get that lead? You know, in a sense, like, are you willing to pay the extra $40, $50 a month to get that extra closing? So, bump on your closing rate that month. So I think it's worth it. We do it. It's just another trust factor. And that's what the name of the game is speed and building trust.
Awesome. Well, that brings us to this question of, you know, I know this is kind of generalized, but I think it's a good place for us to start on this podcast, which is, why do leads matter for your business and for businesses in general?
Yeah. So in regards to my business specifically, leads matter because that's kind of the nature of the beast for us. Yep. So there's a couple different models you could go with as a business owner in the exteriors remodeling. You could be the chuck in a truck and you sell the job, you build it, you have your own people inside. And you don't need to sell that many jobs. You just make your money. We're a little bit more different in the sense that we are growing to build an organization that's going to be here a while. So for us, they drive revenue. And the nature is, the more leads you get, the more revenue you're going to get because you know your numbers. Mm-hmm. So we know our average closing rate. We know how much a lead is worth to us. We don't have a specifically nailed down on per trade, like a lead for roofing is this much, lead for siding is worth this much to me. But we do have an average across the board of what an acquisition cost we are willing to pay to get a lead because we know that, say, for example purposes, if we pay $50 for a lead, we know we're going to close one out of five, you know, one out of four. We know that our marketing budget for leads is X percent of our revenue on our average size job. So it's all about knowing your numbers and bring it down. And that gives you the opportunity to really, you know, identify where your spends need to be and diversify it. Because a lot of people over rely on one or the other. We are pretty spread.
Yeah, and I that's honestly one of the main reasons I had you in for the podcast today. You know, in some cases, as an SEO company, we're the one marketing spend somebody has.
Yep.
And honestly, that's terrifying.
Yeah,
and
it
probably shouldn't be the case.
I'm sure it would be.
and it's probably not what it should be, right?
Not at all.
As a construction organization, a small business of any type that relies on leads, you should be looking for as many ways as possible to get leads, whether it be referrals, whether it be just in-person conversations, because obviously those are the best, right?
Yeah.
And in some cases, cold calling, in some cases, other stuff, in some cases, door knocking. But to me, it's always best when we're one of several pieces. Yeah. I do think it's a good piece.
Complementary, yeah. In a sense.
And they do feed into each other. Like social media, you do a good amount on social media. Yep. Sometimes you're really, really good about it. Where you're out.
Sometimes I'm not.
Hey, that's the nature of the beast. Yeah, and I do respect you for your hustle on social media because you're always posting pictures of jobs that you completed. You're always asking for business, mm-hmm. and you're always out there, and you're not afraid to use your personal Facebook account either because you really do affect the community. Mm-hmm. And of your surrounding area, of your town, exactly. your city. And I think that's something that's kind of like I said.
That's an interesting point. Yeah. I guess I haven't really thought about in a while is the personal brand.
Yeah.
So like me, myself, I started roofing when I was 15. So like starting younger, everyone knew, oh, Josh works for that roofer, you know?
Yeah.
I was already getting referrals when I was 16 from my boss.
Yeah.
You know, getting him leads.
Yeah.
I wasn't actively pursuing them, but they happened. But like your network... My network, like everyone knows if they need a roofer in my network, I am the person they refer, they call. It's just, why would you go anywhere else?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And if you don't keep in front of them with that stuff, they forget. Yeah. It's just like any other branding where they say, like, until you're in front of someone seven times, you're not a trusted brand. And that's the same thing with me, like doing roofing. I mean, everyone I know knows I do roofing and I do it well.
Exactly.
Because I don't, everyone speaks well of it.
Yeah. And you work hard.
Exactly.
And I mean, basically, they wouldn't know that all the time if you just were telling people in person. You're also using social.
Yeah. Well, I'm substantiating those claims.
Yeah.
I'm posting reviews of our customers. Yeah. I'm showing, hey, we're growing. We're not shrinking. Like, we're growing. Yeah. We're looking for people. Yeah. You know, it's all about that persona you put out there and how you treat each other. So that steps into a whole nother world on how you act on social media.
What do you mean?
I don't know. I see a lot of business owners. I know myself that I'm in networks
on. Oh, when they comment on stuff they're weird.
Yeah. Well, not even just that. Like, I'm personal friends with some owners of local companies in the area, and some of the stuff that they like put on their personal Facebook page is extremely offensive and like not good for their brand.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, consumers are really smart. Yeah. They can figure out that you're the owner of that business in about 15 seconds.
And
if they're looking at your business, they want to know who's behind and they see the stuff that you're putting on there.
So you gotta have some discretion. Maybe just hide your really heavy political views either bent a little bit if you're a business owner. Well, there's always kind of, we want to be authentic.
Exactly.
We want to be authentic, but there's also a moment where it's like, people do, like you said, associate your personal brand with your company.
And you gotta have discretion. Otherwise, you'll lose customers.
Yeah, exactly. So. And so let's just go really quick. So this is like I said, with the, you're scrappy. And I mean that as a very high compliment.
I appreciate it.
And with the amount of places that you're getting leads from. So can you go through with me kind of quickly and just as much value as possible around each of the spots that you're getting leads from?
Yep.
And then we'll circle back and we'll talk a little bit through them, but just kind of go through the list.
So I'll just pull up my leads analysis over the last 365 days. So number one is referral. Like, referral base is our number one lead source. After that, it just kind of goes around, but we're doing, SEO with you. We're doing door knocking. We're doing telemarketing. We have graphics on our trucks. We get calls from the graphics on the trucks. We get calls on the signs. In regards to digital, we're using, AdWords now. We're just starting AdWords, Facebook, Instagram, Thumbtack. Thumbtack and Porch are some actual to our industry catered lead generation sources.
Those are pretty heavy hitters according to where the leads are distributed, right?
Yeah. So you're competing.
Thumbtack and Porch are getting a good amount of
stuff. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. I'm getting probably, I don't know, Thumbtack, we're getting probably 5, 6 to 8, notifications that someone's looking for a roofing or siding contractor. Of those, we're probably qualifying and getting appointments with 25 to 50% of those, and then there's your closing rate on top of that.
So it's a little it's a little bit, you're a little bit more likely to lose leads on the way just because of the nature of the platform.
Yeah.
But how do you decide Which ones to keep and which ones to push into a little bit more, and how do you do that? A question I get sometimes is from business owners that say, should I be on this? Should I be on this platform? Should I be on that platform? Yeah. Should I be on that platform? And with the exception of a few of them, I generally think you should be on every platform.
You should be on
every platform. You don't have to pay for everything. Doesn't mean I'm not telling you to go out and pay for HomeAdvisor. We'll talk about HomeAdvisor in a second.
Yeah.
Or even House or Thumbtack or any of these places. You may want to test it out, but you test stuff and you figure out, you know. But anyways, go into what you're
Yeah, but I mean, to kind of touch on that, I think the same way. Like, we don't pay for anything on Angie's List. They just got by HomeAdvisor. We don't pay for leads through HomeAdvisor. We have an account on each of them. We have reviews on Angie's List because I've had people that, customers that found me some other way, and they're like, well, they're skeptical of me because I'm not
on Angie's
List. I'm not like actively in front of them on Angie's List.
Yeah.
They're like, why aren't you on there? I'm like, well, you have to pay to play here.
Yeah.
You know, that's the game, but we don't pay that game. Yeah. We're there, but it's also a way to substantiate. So you want to be actively doing that. Like, I mean, you got to have it. Pages everywhere. Anywhere and everywhere. Even it's free.
So
free.
Question is, should I be on there? The answer is yes. Mm-hmm. And then the second question is, should I be paying them? And the answer is occasionally.
Or if it fits for you. So it all depends on your model. Like, different industries in the home improvement. I mean, every single one is going to be so different on these different platforms in regards to, you know, are they reoccurring services or are they one-time big ticket items, you know? And then you just got to know. It's all about knowing your numbers. That's what it goes back to. And testing it out. Don't shoot it to the curb until you've tried it.
Yeah.
Because you might have a different approach that other people aren't making work. Like, I've talked to a lot of people that say, oh, Thumbtack sucks.
Yeah.
That's hard. And I thought that for months until our recent hire, Dylan, he told me, no, I get tons of lead on Thumbtack where I used to work. Well, he showed me how to work it, and it's all about speed. And that's the same thing. Like, if you're using lead generation services like Angie's List, Thumbtack, Porch, HomeAdvisor, it's all about speed.
And so you have to be the number one fast person. They can't get there quick enough. And I'm not disparaging them, but for whatever reason, if you're this is a whole nother conversation, but if you're a little heavier on the implementation and the and I know you're up on roofs a lot, so I'm not saying that you're not out there, but that distribution between, like, let's say 30% admin and 70% I'm getting stuff done, I'm working.
Yeah.
That's that old discussion of, like, these people are saying, I can't follow up with leads quickly.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not disparaging them. Yeah. Some of them might be listening to this podcast. They literally might
not be able to, but...
Yeah, but what it, like, what would you say to those people that when they're spending 70% of their time on the actual work and they pride themselves in that, but they're missing leads and they're getting to them a day late or whatever?
Well, I think it all comes down to a couple aspects. First of which, referencing your one blogcast, podcast. Yeah. In regards to, if someone can do your job at 75% accuracy, that's great.
Yeah.
So think about that way. Where is your time? If you want to grow, you got to start prioritizing your time a little bit differently than just doing the work, because you can train other people to do that aspect. Mm-hmm. You're not going to train them to hustle.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get that drive. So, like, I mean, for me, when I was doing that, I mean, I would stop. I'd be on a roof. Like, I'm talking like 2-3 stories up on a steep roof. I'm hanging on. I'd answer the phone.
Yeah.
And I would just, like, sit on the peak of a roof and enter their information onto, like, the notes into a text message to myself and set an appointment.
Because
you lose it. You lose the capability. If they have to leave a voicemail or this and they don't get a response right away, I know I saw stats not long ago, but your chances of closing them after even 30 minutes drop.
It's drop. It's like 10 minutes. If you answer within the first 10 minutes, the fact that they could possibly be right there, having just submitted a contact form or called.
Yeah.
You can take a lead.
It's a Thumbtack lead right now, so I just
got
a lead. I'll
let you do what you need to do. Yeah,
Internet connection. Okay, yeah, so right now, Diane, she's zero.
We're going through a lead real quick.
Two-story building, insurance claim already approved, zip code full replacement of existing roof, it's leaking, looks good. All right, I'm going to send a quote. I have a template. And
you
hi there.
A template in
it's
there?
It's done.
Boom.
I'm the first person that contacted her. Oh, already gone.
I love that.
I didn't get it.
Oh,
because right. probably the service where we are, I got it a little late. It was already taken by everyone else.
Oh my goodness, that's quick.
Speed.
That's quick. Speed. I like that though.
But that's an example. Yeah. I missed that. That was a good lead, like yeah. a really good one. And yeah. because of just not having good service yeah. where we are or something, I didn't.
You know what?
I need to connect to the Wi-Fi here, I think.
that's how okay, I put it. So yeah. how. So it goes back. Let's get one or two more points on mm-hmm. how do you decide what to keep and what not to keep on lead generation?
So that, I guess for me.
And what to put more money into or put, you know, whatever.
Okay. Are you talking jobs? Like what kind of jobs I want to pursue or what leads?
What lead generation activities are you like, let's ramp that up. When mm-hmm. do you make the decision to do that? When do you make the decision to like, okay, so I'm not going to spend money on Angie's List for whatever reason.
Yeah. Honestly. My God.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of know where my leads are coming from and yep. I know where whatever I should be putting some more metrics to that.
Yep.
And I have the metrics here kind of that indicate each yep. in regards to I can look here at my closing rate.
You generally track closing rate yeah. for each of these things. So I think yes. that's
so we can,
they can't see that right now. I yeah. know that you track that.
So
but
like
they,
right
he's
now,
tracking the percentage
previous customer,
of people.
We have a 40% closing.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook, we're at 50%.
Yeah.
Telemarketing, 50%. Google search, 40%. Thumbtack, like 15%.
Yeah, so it's a lot lower, but you're doing a lot more quantity there.
Well, and it's cheaper.
Yeah.
So the leads are costing us $5 to $15 yeah. versus
yeah.
$80 to $100 on yeah. some other ones.
Absolutely. And then what's the best thing that you've learned regarding lead generation over the past year?
Well, let me look back down to what... Oh, speed, 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 speed. Just like what we talked about. Like
yeah.
you got to be on top of those leads because people will submit like a form online, like at some website when they're up late at like 9, 10, 11 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you call them the next day, they'll forget they even did that.
Yeah.
Which it's kind of messed up. I kind of refuse to call people at 11 p.m. at night and set appointments. It just seems
yep.
wrong. But it's the speed to response, the speed to answering their questions. And
have
it's
you ever
even,
scared somebody with how quickly you responded to them?
Not scared, but
I
surprised.
Have.
They're like, oh, wow.
I've called somebody like, bah! And I just called them like immediately, and they're like, "Wait, what?" That was a
I'm
little
not
weird.
Ready for this.
Yeah, it was like a little weird to them.
You gotta take me on a date first.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's
where
the
is
speed.
Where is lead generation headed? Like, just think about the next 5 years. Do you imagine it being completely different avenues? Like, there's so many of these websites out there, like Home Advisor.
Yep.
And like Angie's List and like House and like Thumbtack, where they are actually strangely at the whim of Google in a way.
Yeah.
Some of these people, like for instance, Home Advisor, rank really well.
Oh, yeah.
But if Google's algorithm changed and they realized that this is a pretty like, it's a directory. For instance, Yelp got devalued hard by Google
oh, really?
At a certain point. Yeah, because Google said, we're putting in the same kind of platform on our Google Maps and Google Places
yeah.
Platform. So they essentially said, you know what, Yelp?
See ya.
F ya. And Google has like a lot of power, right?
Yeah.
So essentially like... And a lot of these are kind of redundant, right? It's like ideally, anyways, this is opinion.
Yeah.
Brackets here, Tim's opinion.
All right.
Ideally, you want leads where they're coming to you as a service provider. Like ideally, you wouldn't get it through Thumbtack. No. You'd get it through your company,
exactly.
either through, I mean, some kind of social platform or a website where they want to work with you, right?
Yeah.
So like if there's a bunch of platforms out there,
yeah,
like House and like Home Advisor and all these places where they're essentially a directory for the service providers
yeah.
themselves, and they don't really do a lot of value add
mm-hmm.
for the customer or the service provider that much.
Yeah.
They might require a few more details and thus, you know, maybe you'll get, you know, you'll be able to, I guess the one value is, I'll contradict myself. The one value here is that maybe they'll be bidding against each other.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like, for the customer,
yep,
that's a nice thing, right?
Mm-hmm. They got people coming to them. I mean, in regards to that, I think also, like you said, like you don't want to be putting, you're competing against them.
Yeah.
And that was always my opinion on Angie's List, HomeAdvisor. I remember talking to some person, they're like, oh, where do you get all your leads? And I was like, really organic. We were doing mostly organic at the time with you and, you know, referrals, because that worked for my size at the mm-hmm. time. And but it didn't line up with our growth, so we needed to diversify. But what they said, I told them, I don't want to have them compete with my marketing efforts. Why would I pay them to beat me on a search
engine? They will sometimes promote for your business name. I've seen that.
Oh,
where,
really?
Where a platform will actually promote for the business name, and the mm-hmm. business owner doesn't see it for whatever reason, and they're just sitting up there above their organic listing in the paid ads section, and essentially they're taking a cut.
They're taking a cut off their leads. So,
which is crazy.
There's the thing too. You don't want to, like, there's a guy in our industry, Dimitri with Roofing Insights. You know what he does, and he's very interesting to follow. He just dropped Angie's List.
Yeah.
Because they were bought by a HomeAdvisor. But like, same thing. But he said they were so over-reliant for his roofing company on Angie's List. Like, they spent $200,000 over 2 years there or whatever on that. But they were so over-reliant. They were, in a sense, like, competing against themselves because they were spending like 60% of their marketing budget on Angie's List.
You're building somebody else's platform.
And it was only bringing in like 20% of the revenue.
Yeah.
So you really got to keep it in check and not have over-reliance on anyone. Yeah. I think they're good tools to use as a diversified network to grow, but you don't want to have any over-reliance, because in my mind, what I want to do is I use these like what they are. They're tools for growth. Reinvest that profit off those jobs into your organic and stuff and building your brand, because that's what's going to give you the long-term sustainable model if you want reoccurring business.
That being said, I want to know that, like we had talked about earlier, I think everybody should be on every single one of these.
Yep.
That's my take on it. And occasionally pay for stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if people are on there, like, I don't think it should be their main thing. Like, it shouldn't be, because that, then you're just building,
it should not be,
you're building somebody else's platform, basically, especially if you start throwing a ton of money into it.
Yep.
But if you're on there, let's say Thumbtack, House, I know we have different, like, we have hot takes on HomeAdvisor, but how do you get the most out of them, out of those types of platforms? Like, how do you get the most out of them?
Just really learning them. Yeah. You got to know how each one fits in the market. You know, the Angie's List people, they're looking for a trusted person. They're looking for a more value-based service that's trusted. They're the people that are willing to pay more for a service so they don't have to think about it. Some other ones might be a little bit more in regards, like what you said, competition. So you got to know what kind of customers are going to be coming into those and optimizing your pitch, in a sense, or your whole approach so it can still bring in those people. It's all about knowing how to use the system for the customers you're acquiring.
And it's specific to the individual platform you're talking
about. It is.
So, and I love that, because the same goes with social, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, some people are acting on Twitter like they should be on Instagram, or they're on Instagram putting a caption that's three paragraphs long and it's like no
one
cares.
It's about photos.
Yeah. So it's just, I think, knowing your audience and knowing, like you said, the scenario that they're coming in on. I love that. That's huge. What's different about leads that come off of your website or come to you personally through like social media or something like that?
Oh, we love those.
Yeah.
They're the best because they've already pre-qualified. I mean, our closing rate is about 10% higher on those because they've already, they've sold themselves in a sense. They are calling me specifically because they've already pre-qualified me as a very strong candidate, have the reputation, they trust. There's not objections to overcome in regards to trust. Those trust factors are already there when we show up.
Yeah.
We just need to verify real quick, you know, in the sense, like, go over them real quick. And, I mean, they're just better customers, especially referrals, personally.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
But, well, that yes and no. So
yeah.
Working with family and friends is tough.
So. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I try
so to that's the personally one personal one that's a little tough, and I've been a lot better about that.
Because everything is supposed to be a deal, and you're just like, I can't actually deal. Run a business.
Yeah, you need to mark it up like another, like, whatever, if you're going to work for family. No,
yeah.
I'm kidding. I just say no.
But let's talk about referrals. So what systems do you have in place to get more referrals? Because obviously, maybe not friends and family proper, but like people that know someone that knows you and knows that you do good work. How do you get more referrals from those types of people?
So there's a couple. So that kind of actually reminds me of one other aspect. We can touch on something quick before I answer that. So that reminds me of, so in referrals, I know a lot of business owners, obviously you do too. And especially in the local area. So like Facebook, some leads have come in from Facebook that aren't attributed to our Facebook page, I should say. What you said reminded me of that, because it's all about the networking and referrals. So me and my friends were all on the same Elk River bulletin board. Yeah. Someone posts, hey, who knows a local roofer? Well, I say, hey, I'm here, blah, 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 and I tag my business. Well, then Brian over here tags North Face Construction. And John over here tags North Face Construction. And this person over here. They all are substantiating me, and when people put that out there, and we help each other out. So like John and Brian, who I mentioned, Brian has a lawn and landscape business and real estate. John does framing.
What is it called, by the way?
Bees Lawn and Landscape out of Hanover, Minnesota.
I just saw the landscaping company that we're both friends with. I saw them tag a lawn company.
Yep,
so I was watching that. Why am I part of the Elk River job board? I don't know.
But it's really interesting referral network aspect there. So
it's cool when other people say work with this person.
Yep, exactly. And it's about your referral network. Yeah. So I guess jumping back to your original question, what the systems in place for getting the referrals. It's like we talked about earlier, building your brand. Like people want to refer someone to someone they trust. So if you refer someone to me, Tim, if I don't do a good job, it makes you look bad.
Yeah.
So people want to make sure they refer people they trust. So in your network, really building that trust with them and doing work with them. And then it's just kind of a snowball effect in that. But for us, an actual systems in place, when we're done with a job, we're asking for reviews immediately. So we'll send the invoice. When we get that payment and we process it, we send a thank you for your business email. And we have a list like, hey, we say, hey, 65% of our business in 2017 was from referrals. To help like grow that, and we're a small business, what helps is reviews. Would you be willing to write reviews on four or more of these platforms? And we'll give them a link to BBB, Angie's List, Yelp, Facebook, Google, all these places, and we say, hey, for your time, whether it's positive, 5 stars, 1 star, I don't care what you say, give your honest opinion, and we'll send you a thank you, as it just putting it out there.
Yeah.
So we're not enticing for a good or not good, but what you're doing there is you're getting them to reaffirm they had a good experience.
Yeah.
And that also ties into when we're doing like a final walkthrough with a customer, like you say, hey, Tim, you had a great experience. Did we complete everything on time? Did what I promised on the front end fall through with what we provided you? And they say, yep. Just resubstantiating that they had a good experience.
Yeah.
It's going to kind of reaffirm that they're willing to refer people. So it's all about having those systems in place there. But then also following up and asking for referrals is extremely, extremely valuable. And then also we send brownies to people. Every single customer, whether it's a $100 repair or it's kind of like Gary Vee gave me the idea, is the thank you department.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, because what we care about, we don't care about the size of a repair or whatever dollar amount. When we go out to a lead, whether it's for literally putting a dab of caulking on something, I'm looking to get a referral. I'm looking to build them into a future customer. So if it's a $100 repair or a $100,000 job, every single person is getting a thank you and brownie sent out to them with a handwritten letter thanking them for their business and their time. So it's just
I'm inspired.
Building that brand. You know, you really got to – it's, and it gives them that personal thing. You got the how can you incorporate – it's like the sales guy that I like was teaching things. You got to incorporate as many senses into the experience as you can. And how in construction can you incorporate taste? Well, we figured it out.
I like it. Man, I love that. And that's super inspiring to me. I love the thank you department. I think incorporating all the senses, it's all, to me, all of that was golden. I am inspired to try to do something nice for my clients now. Like some steak after this podcast. Yeah. All right, well, we're...
steak and beer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we're very grateful that you took the time to listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
I just want to give Josh a chance to share the places where you can follow them on social and check out their website. So, Josh, if you want to go ahead.
Yeah, so you can check out our website at www. Does anyone say that anymore? I probably should just say northfaceconstruction.com. That's N-O-R-T-H-F-A-C-E construction.com. You can find us on Twitter, or not Twitter, Instagram handle is northface.construction. And then on Facebook, it's facebook.com/northfaceconstruction. So feel free to follow. Tim is always helping us post content that can help people out. And
absolutely. And, you know, on that front, we always take a try to be help educate people. Mm-hmm. And I also just kind of think that your social is a good example of a business owner taking ownership over social. So if you're just looking for an example of that, check that stuff out. But if you're also, if you're looking for a person that can help with exteriors, roofing, siding in the Minneapolis and broader Minneapolis area, please check out North Face Construction and join us next time for the next episode of It's a Code World. You can check out the podcast notes at hookagency.com/podcast-22. And you can check us out on social at Hook Agency on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And join us next time. Thanks. Thanks. You've got the words to change a nation, but you're biting your tongue. You spent some lifetime stuck in silence, afraid you'll say something wrong. If no one ever hears it, how are we gonna learn your song? So come on, come on. Join us next time for It's a Code World, bringing you radical guests speaking to relevant topics in digital marketing. From visual design to front-end development, from growth hacking social media and SEO to work process tips and working with clients,